السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah bears witness that there is no Lord but Him. He bears witness for that. The angels do, and the people of knowledge do as well, that He will continue to uphold justice and fairness. There is no God or deity but Him, and He is the unfathomable, and He is the wise. The final khutbah within this series, this short series that talks about seeking knowledge, I'm going to end by emphasizing the fact that the reason that we talk about knowledge and the importance of knowledge and the importance of seeking knowledge is because this is the legacy of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is what he taught us and this is what he left us with. Out of all of the concepts that he taught us and he educated us upon and he role modeled for us, By far, the importance of ilm and the importance of seeking ilm and the importance of being a lifelong learner as a member of this ummah, and for the ummah to be that in its essence, is probably the most important thing he left us, alayhi salatu wasalam. And wallahi, it's so difficult. Yeah, as we're creeping closer and closer towards October 7th, after a full year of this, I don't know if we fully appreciate what a full year of destruction, death, a full year of just counting a death toll upon a population of civilians, the majority of them, yani women and children, does to people on an individual level and on a communal level. I don't think we fully realize what this has done to us and how this has affected us as people and human beings and as Muslims for sure. And I feel like we must walk away from every experience that we have as Muslims with as many benefits as possible. I don't believe in capitalizing on other people's pain and agony. I think that's a very cheap thing. And some people do that. But we have to, when we're stuck in a situation, we have no way around it. We have to at least learn the lessons. We have to at least learn the lessons from what it is that we are witnessing and what we are going through. And the way I want to state this for you is, I don't think that at any point the entirety or the majority or half or a third even of our ummah is going to wake up and find its way. I don't think that's ever going to be the case. The theories that exist and the theory that I think is worthy of contemplating, 2% of any nation is needed. 2% of any community, of any society, of any population is what you need to move things, to make change, to actually turn it around and to come up with a form of leadership and direction. 2%, that's it. The rest follow. The rest follow. It's 2%. Then what you know of the Sahaba is around 2%, if you think of it. He passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam, he left 100,000 people. How many of those do you actually know? How many? If you think about 100,000, what's 2% of 100,000? Right? 2,000 people maybe? Do you know 2,000 Sahaba? If I asked you to count, could you count 2,000 Sahaba? Could you? I started a challenge. I dare you to. I dare you to get to 200. I dare you to get to 200. It's very hard. We don't have that. This has been the case forever. No? We can barely get to 200 Sahabi. All you need is 2% of a nation. And the question that I pose here for you and for myself is, are you amongst that 2% that will educate itself, that will learn, that will seek knowledge, and then use that knowledge to increase the level of education that exists for the 98% that's left? And if we do that, if we are able to muster up 2% of our population as a Muslim ummah, and they are willing to go and learn their deen and learn their dunya, appropriately so, and raise the general level of education that exists within their nation, then change will actually occur. And because we are given such a unique opportunity from where we live, from where we are in the world, we have to see ourselves as a part of that 2%. We have to be. If you are not, then the responsibility of that upon you is much heavier and much more significant than it exists on people who are living in parts of the world where they don't have the opportunities that we have here today. You have to understand that. Being a part of this is not I need to make it clear that when I say 2%, we're not talking about some elite approach to things where you feel that somehow you're superior to the rest of them. No, I'm just saying that in order for any group of people to make the change that they all want, they need at least 2% of them to go full all in. They need at least 2% of them to dedicate their lives for this. To dedicate their lives to فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٍ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, you don't need everyone to do this. You just need a firqa. You need a ta'ifa from every firqa. From every group, you need a small group, a ta'ifa, that will go and learn. And as a Muslim living here in the West, it's totally on you. You have the opportunities, you have the time, you have the resources, you have access. You have to be a part of this. You have to see yourself as an essential part of that change that's going to come. If it is going to come, it's going to come through an ummah, through a group of people from the ummah dedicating themselves to ilm. to gaining the ilm from an Islamic perspective and gaining the ilm that is required to build nations, and then taking that and increasing the general public understanding of it and utilizing it in a way that benefits people. And if we don't do that, then I don't know what we're going to do. We are a nation that, we come from a nation that not only encourages seeking knowledge, but encourages curiosity, values evidence-based arguments. A nation that pushes you to become a seeker of certitude, a seeker of truth. You are part of an ummah that's how this ummah was built. Hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqin. Explain things, prove it, show me evidence for it, and we will all become a part of what you believe in. We're an ummah that value that above all. Above all is always haqq, it's always the truth. We're seekers of truth. You can't find truth through ignorance. You can only find truth through ilm. There's no other way. It's through knowledge. It's not through ignorance. Sayyid al-Tasturi rahimahullah would say, مَا مِن مَعْصِيَةٍ عُصِيَ بِهَا اللَّهُ أَعْظَمَ مِنَ الْجَهْلِ. There is no sin that Allah has been disobeyed through worse than ignorance. فَقَالُوا فَهَلْ تَعْرِفُ مَعْصِيَةً أَعْظَمَ مِنَ الْجَهْلِ. They asked him a question, well, since you said that, great, but are you aware of anything that is worse than ignorance, just since you said it that way? فَقَالَ نَعَمْ, yes I do. الْجَهْلُ بِالْجَهْلِ, is to be ignorant that you're ignorant. قَالَ الْجَهْلُ بِالْجَهْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَسُدُّ كُلَّ بَابٍ إِلَى التَّعَلُّمْ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ. It closes the door to ever learning. فَكَيْفَ يَتَعَلَّمُ مَنْ يَظُنُّ بِنَفْسِهِ الْعِلْمِ. How does someone learn if they think they're already learned? How do they learn if they think they know, they already know things? It's impossible. You ever heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect? The Dunning-Kruger effect talks about two peaks for human beings when it comes to knowing things. One exists at the beginning. They call it Mount Stupid, by the way. And then the one that comes later. My problem is, I can't have a Muslim population that exists at the beginning of this curve, that are committed to Islam and they feel that but they're there. They have yet to learn their deen appropriately. They haven't dipped yet. They haven't gotten into a position where they're questioning themselves and questioning that which they learned. Coming to the point where they actually understand things as they are. Like, we can't afford to be a population existing on the first part, committed to our deen and committed to anything that Allah, the Quran, but not in the right manner. Not in a matter of actual knowledge and understanding. You see, people who hang out there for a long time end up running into something called cognitive dissonance. And I see it all the time in the youth. They come and it's too late by then, because they spent most of their time on that mountain over there. They spent most of their time thinking that that was good, that they were committed, but they didn't understand their deen appropriately. They didn't really study it. They didn't comprehend what it's about. But they stood there. They were committed. That's how they grew up. And then they go and start studying and learning, but it's in a non-systematic manner. They don't have any guidance. They don't have a sheikh. They don't have a teacher. So they learn and they get confused. And now they're coming and they don't understand it. And it's too late, because I can't give a full Islamic education in 15 minutes. No one can. I can't offer you a lifetime of Islamic education in 10 minutes. And even if I could, should I? Is that even the way this happens? Everyone needs their one-on-one 10, 15 minutes. No. No, you have to learn. This is how everything is learned in the world. And we're not immune to it as Muslims. Islam is the faith that tells you learn as deeply as possible. The more you learn, the higher. That graph only, if you look at it, it just gets equal to where you were at the beginning. No, Islam, it takes you to the infinite height. The infinite height of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding things. The more you learn, the more you understand how much there is to learn. And the more you enjoy what you're learning, you enjoy the beauty of the knowledge that is being shared with you. There's no end to it. But if a population is standing at that mount, enjoying, we're Muslim, but no understanding exists. No true understanding exists. We are, it is so dangerous. It is so dangerous for us to be there, for our population, for the majority of our population to be standing there. It's impossible to do anything in a nation or an ummah. It's impossible to change things. It's impossible to go anywhere if people aren't willing to learn. Without knowledge, it takes patience, it takes grit, it takes perseverance, and it does not happen. You don't attend a course and after 15 minutes, like, this is boring. What do you think the sheikh was going to do in the course? This is not a show. He's not here to entertain you. He's here to teach. To teach it requires someone who's willing to learn, and willingness to learn means you're willing to sit and think and comprehend and reflect and think again. It requires your time, and it requires your grit and your perseverance. That's how knowledge is acquired. This is the sacred legacy of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You think you can just come for a couple of minutes and it'll be dropped into you? What is this? You're going to have to spend a lifetime dedicated to it, and then maybe, not even that, will Allah ever be deserving of it. But you have to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are dedicated for this cause for years, so that maybe He will give you something of it. Something of His ilm alayhi salatu wasalam put in your heart will be enough for your lifetime. But it's so valuable, you have to see it valuable. And when I say that, I'm not even just talking about ilm al-shara'. I'm talking about any knowledge. Any knowledge, you medicine or law or engineering or whatever you study. It doesn't come easily. And if you try to have it come easily to you, then your comprehension of it will be very minimal. And your ability to build, and your ability to actually reflect and contemplate and extract wisdom from what you learned is not there. Yes, you learn just enough to work the machines, just enough to make a living. But do you truly, have you learned? Do you understand what you've learned? Has it actually allowed you to zoom out and see the beauty of creation and the beauty of knowledge in this world? It doesn't matter whatever field of knowledge you learn is the same. Once you reach the PhD level, it's all the same. They all come together. Whether a PhD in medicine or in philosophy or in art, they all have, if they truly understand their craft, then their appreciation for ilm is the same. Their appreciation of knowledge and what it does for the human mind and the human being and populations will be the same. At the peak of it all knowledge comes together. At the top, it all comes together. So whatever you learn, it's going to be the same. But learn, but make sure that you take time to listen to what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, what he left. Because he just saves you so much time. He just saves you so much time when you do that, alayhi salatu wasalam, with... He tells us, "Man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihhu fid din." If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for you, He will send you on a path where you have access to learning about the deen. Because the more you learn, the closer you are, the more accurate and precise and the more capable you are of actually obeying Allah the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be obeyed. It's not up to me. I don't worship Allah the way I want. I worship Allah the way He wants. How do I find that? How do I have to learn? I have to learn. I have to go to the source of this knowledge in order for it to work. Alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout his life, and he shared with us a lot of these quotations regarding knowledge, and the one that is probably the most famous that is worth knowing and for you to think about is when he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, fi hadith Imam Tabrani, talabul ilmi fariida ala kulli muslim. Seeking knowledge is actually a fariida. When you think about, well, there's only five arkan of Islam, shahadatain and salat. These are in terms of your rituals. In terms of your acts of worship that are personal between you and God, there are five things you have to keep. There's a lot of other obligations in the deen. And one of them is talabul ilm, is seeking knowledge to the best of your ability with what resources you have available to you. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith of Muslim, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا حَفَّتْهُمْ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وغشيتهم الرحمة وتنزلت عليهم السكينة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. Whenever a bunch of people come into a masjid and they recite the book of Allah and they start studying it amongst themselves, they start trying to learn what it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from them. They never do that except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has them surrounded by mercy. And the malaika come and sit with them. And they are smothered with serenity and tranquility. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of them by name amongst those in the skies and the heavens. He calls them out. Fulan wa fulan. They came to our home and they spoke and they read our book and they learned from it. This is the value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the eyes of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam of seeking knowledge and learning. And that's really what this all comes down to. Knowledge is power. It always has been. And when ummah became very strong, when we were educated. There's a book, I don't know if it's translated. I read it when I was maybe 10 or 11. It's written by Dr. Majid Al-Kilani, a Jordanian author. And it's called, هكذا ظهر جيل صلاح الدين. It was very popular in Damascus at one point in my life. I don't think it's ever been translated, but that may be something to do. The book, I mean, I agree with everything in it, but the majority of the book, and he's a historian, the guy who wrote the PhD who wrote the book, he's a historian. The majority of this book, I thought when I bought the book, I was going to hear, the majority of the book was him counting the number of schools and colleges and universities that were open across the Muslim world right before the generation of Salah ad-Din existed. That's wallahi the majority of the book. Al-Madrasa al-Qadiri, al-Madrasa al-Kadha, al-Madrasa al-Nidhami, just counting where this school was open in this part of the Muslim world where people knew nothing, where people were illiterate, where it was the middle of nowhere, where no one would even want to go and teach, but they opened these schools and they went and they educated their nation. And because they educated people, the generation that finally found salvation for the ummah, the generation that was actually able to bring back their huquq, their lost rights, and to bring back their muqaddasat, the sacred mosque that was taken away from them, emerged. It didn't come out of nothing. It didn't come out of thin air. They didn't just emerge. No, it was generations upon generations of people preparing and teaching and educating and starting schools. And that's what we need to do. We can't imagine that we're going to be able to see a better future for ourselves. A future where Muslims have a voice, where Muslims have some unity, where Muslims are able to make their case and be listened to when they do so, where the blood of a Muslim child is equal to the blood of any other child on the planet, where their lives are valuable, where everyone else feels the same towards every living soul, where Muslims are not treated as if they are not human to begin with, and then expected to behave as such. That you want that to change? We need to go back. We need to go back to the beginning. Let's go back, right? Let's go back to Iqra' Bismi Rabbik. Let's rewind this as far as we can. To the beginning. Let's go back to the start. All right. Where did we go wrong? Iqra' Bismi Rabbik. That's where we went wrong. You don't have to wait for a couple of steps to figure out where we went wrong. You don't have to actually go, okay. No. From the beginning, from the first word, we got it wrong. He said, Iqra', we didn't do that. We got it wrong. We did not focus, we did not fundamentally focus on education, on teaching, on making sure that every Muslim was well informed, that our youth knew their deen and knew who they were, knew their identity and their legacy and their history and what it is that they were here to do, and they felt attached to it and they felt proud of it. But we didn't have that. So whatever comes next is not going to be add up to much, is it? So you got step 2 and 3 and 4. Good for you. Did you get the first one? Did you get the absolute number one command? The fundamental principle of seeking knowledge and being a lifelong learner. Do you get that one? No, but I don't know. How could you argue that anything else worked out after that? If the first piece of advice was not followed appropriately. So let's go back. Let's rewind and start there again. And give ilm the status that it always has had for us. The status that it deserves. And when we do that, you'll see a change. When the norm, I want you to imagine this, when the norm for a young boy and a young girl in the community, the norm for them is that they're going to obviously go to university and get their master's and maybe even PhD, and they're expected in their minds to publish on the topics that they are going to study and become professors. And it's expected of them, of course, to memorize the Quran and to study fiqh and usul and aqidah, and to also get informal, proper Islamic education so they can teach. That is, imagine that being the norm. They grow up and everyone is doing that. That's how we are. We learn. I go in masjid and I learn all the stuff I need to know about the deen, and I go to school and I learn everything else I need about the dunya, and I put them all together and I learn to understand how the world works, and I add to the collective effort of knowledge in the world, and I use that and I utilize it in my own community. Why is that so hard? Why is that difficult? I don't see why it's difficult. I really don't. Like, I understand certain things are, but I don't see why that's difficult. Why can't our youth grow up feeling that is how that's the norm? The norm is Zen. I'm going to learn everything. And the whole community that I'm in is going to celebrate me as I do so. And they're going to make it easy. And they're going to make it really simple. And they're going to welcome me in. And no agendas are going to be attached to any of it. I'm not going to be required to do anything. I'm just going to be brought in and taught and learned. And I'm going to learn appropriately and have the adab that comes with all of that. And then see the role models of people who are willing to dedicate their lives for their causes. And that's the norm. Do that. All of your energy, put it there. Just for 10 years, Yahi. We're going to be die dead soon anyways. Might as well do something useful with the time that we have here. Just do that. And let someone grow up feeling that that's the norm. Change it. Change the custom. Change what everyone feels is what... change it. It's not hard to change. A little bit of motivation, a little bit of inspiration, and it'll change. And what kids do whatever the expectations are. If they're growing up in a community where most of the people they see around them are not educated Islamically, have no interest in that, are not properly educated, aren't committed to their causes, they will grow up like that. If you're like that as a father or a mother, they're going to grow up like you. Doesn't matter what you tell them. Doesn't matter if you bring them to the masjid every day. If you're not like that yourself, they have to see this being embodied. They have to see it personified. They have to be surrounded by people like that. They have to look up, and every time they see a young person a bit older than them, they're the hafiz. There's someone who's learning their deen, someone who's practicing, they're in university, they're aiming high. Their ambitions are not just money and travel and cars. Ya'ami, wallahi, we have to pull our heads out of the ground. We have to look up a little bit to the sky and see that there's way more to this life than what we're actually doing right now. There's way more to this. A little bit of inspiration, and a generation will come along. You and I will be long gone. We'll be long gone. Forgotten, because it's a second or third generation, no one remembers their great-grandfather, or grandfathers even. We don't matter. But if we were able to start something, and start shifting that norm a little bit in our community, then another generation of Salah ad-Din will emerge. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. قد أطلت اليوم في هذه الخطبة فسأختصر لكم بسرعة باللغة العربية. إخواني وأخواتي، للمرة الألف أو المليون أو ما تجاوز ذلك، لا مخرج لهذه الأمة مما هي فيه إلا بالعلم. الأمة نهضت بالعلم وسقطت بالجهل، وتعود إلى صدارة الأمم بالعلم مرة أخرى. ونعم، قد يستغرق هذا زمانا، قد يستغرق هذا مدة من الزمن لا نكون قد بقينا في الدنيا بعدها يتجاوز فيها أعمارنا، ولكن لنا بذلك إثاء بما حصل مع سيدنا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، فهو لم يكن موجودا لما وصل للمسلمون إلى كسرى إلى فارس وإلى الروم. لما نهضت الحضارة الإسلامية في عهد عمر وعثمان ومن أتى بعدهم، لم يكن موجودا ليشهد ذلك عليه الصلاة والسلام، لكن لنا عبرة فيه عليه الصلاة والسلام، أنه لم يهتم بهذه المسائل، وإنما أسس نواة علم، نواة أشخاص محبين للعلم، عاشقين للعلم، طالبين للعلم في كل أحوالهم، فأخرج أمة تحب العلم، فاستمرت تقود الأمم ألف عام. وأي زمن هو أفضل من هذا الذي نحن فيه؟ من شهر ربيع، الشهر الذي ولد فيه عليه الصلاة والسلام، وتوفي فيه عليه الصلاة والسلام، وهاجر فيه عليه الصلاة والسلام، فكثرت في هذا الشهر، كثر في هذا الشهر ما قام به عليه الصلاة والسلام في حياته مما نحبه ونتذكره. فنستخدم هذا الشهر يعني لنزيد من ذكرانا برسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام، لنحسن الاتعاظ والاستفادة والتعلم من هديه عليه الصلاة والسلام وما تركه فينا. اي نعم، ظلمت سنة من أحيا الظلام إلى اي نعم، ظلمت سنة من أحيا الظلام إلى أن اشتكت قدماه الضر من ورمي، وراودته الجبال الشم من ذهب عن نفسه فأراها أيما شممي، وأكدت زهده فيها ضرورته إن الضرورة لا تعدو على العصام، محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم. لما توفي عليه الصلاة والسلام ودفنوه، وقف حسان بن ثابت رضي الله عنه الشاعر فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام رضي الله عنه في رثائه عليه الصلاة والسلام: نب المساكين نبي المساكين أن الخير فارقهم مع الرسول تولى عنهم سحرا ذاك الذي ليس يخشاه مجالسه إذا الجليس سطى في القول أو عثرا كان الضياء وكان النور نتبعه وكان بعد الإله السمع والبصر فليتنا يوم واروه بمحنية وغيبوه وألقوا فوقه المدر لم يترك الله خلقا من بريته ولم يعش بعده أنثى ولا ذكر صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. فنتذكره عليه الصلاة والسلام في هذه الأيام تذكر المستفيد تذكر المنتفع والمتبع لهديه عليه الصلاة والسلام. وهديه كان العلم وترك فينا العلم ولم يورث لا دينارا ولا درهما وإنما ورث العلم فخذه فإنما هو الحظ الوافر في هذه الدنيا. فتعلم ما تركه فيك عليه الصلاة والسلام تنهض هذه الأمة مرة أخرى. Brothers and sisters, during this blessed month where we remember him alayhi salatu wasalam a bit more because of all the important things that happened in Rabi'a, the number one thing you should remember about him alayhi salatu wasalam is the fact is that he came as someone who couldn't read the written word, who was never put in a school. He is someone who came and made sure that we educated ourselves. He is someone who made sure that we understood ilm, knowledge seeking, as being the most important part of our whole ummah building of developing our nation and our empire was going to be through ilm. Sallu alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what he left amongst us. He moved on, but he left the legacy of knowledge amongst us. And until we go back to that legacy again, we will continue to struggle. And we won't find our way, but we go back to it. And it will, yeah, subhanAllah, an imam by the name of Hafs ibn Burd, Andalusi, would say, لِلَّهِ دُرُّ الْقَلَمِ مَا أَعْجَبَهُ. How weird is the issue of the pen. يَشْرَبُ ظُلْمَةً وَيَلْفِضُ نُورًا. The pen, it drinks darkness, the dark ink. وَيَلْفِضُ نُورًا. It spits out light. It spits out enlightenment. And he says, نُون سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. The second surah, وَالْقَلَمْ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ. I swear by the pen and all that is going to be documented by it. Because we were always destined to be an ummah that was going to build this legacy on knowledge and on seeking of knowledge. And once we go back to that, we will find our way again. I hope that was a benefit to you. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ السَّادَةِ الْحُنَفَاءِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ وَعَلِيٍّ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنْ أَزْوَاجِهِ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَعَنْ آلِهِ الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين. اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان احقن دماءهم في غزة والسودان وفي بنغلاديش وغيرها من بلاد الأرض يا رب العالمين. رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين أخرج الصهاينة منه أدلة صاغرين ارزقنا فيه صلاة قبل الممات يا رب العالمين. اللهم ردنا إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.